What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Gospel Talk. Glad that you joined me. This week on Gospel Talk, we're considering Daniel chapter 3, a passage from the Old Testament. And as we consider this Old Testament passage, I think it's important that we again consider the angle or the way in which we approach this text. As believers, we approach it, first of all, from the perspective of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That passage originally was speaking about the Old Testament, and so it's especially applicable to what we're reading. Of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, by extension, also applies to the New Testament writings. So that's one part of our perspective that we need to have as we look at these Old Testament writings, given by inspiration of God and profitable for believers today. So we ought to be giving attention to it. In the second place, we take the perspective of Jesus himself in Luke 24, speaking to the two men on the road to Emmaus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And of course, at that time, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. And so when it says in all the Scriptures, it's referring to the Old Testament. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the things concerning himself. Of course, Daniel is one of those prophets. And then a little bit further on in Luke 24, when he appears to his disciples, he says to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." You know, this is so important for us to get. The Old Testament is not about us, and it's not about giving us examples so that we can follow. So you be like Daniel, or don't be like Saul, or don't be like this, or be like that. The whole point of the Old Testament is to show us Jesus Christ, to show us Him. So the entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. And we have to keep that perspective in mind also when we come to Daniel chapter 3. Well, let me read a few verses from that chapter, and then we'll continue on exploring what these verses mean for us. So Daniel chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 8, and we'll go up to verse 18. "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, or Babylonians, came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree, and everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image,'" the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in the beginning of chapter 3. "'And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready, At the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now the words here at the end of this passage that we just had read remind us of what we read in the book of Acts, where Peter and John are brought before the Jewish authorities, and they say it's more important for them to obey God than for them to obey men who contradict God's command. There's a basic biblical principle there, that no authority on earth is above God in heaven. No earthly authority whatsoever can command us to do anything contrary to God's word. God is the supreme authority who trumps any other authority which rises up against him. It was true in the days of Daniel and his friends, it was true in the time of the apostles, and, friends, it remains true for us today. Now, where does the ability to hold to that principle come from? Well, it comes out of faith. These three men trusted God and his promises. They fearlessly confessed that faith before a Gentile king who had the power to take away their earthly lives, who had the power to destroy them, and to destroy them in a way that was really quite painful and ugly. In Hebrews 11, there's a reference to this event in verse 34, where the author of Hebrews mentions those who quenched the fury of the flames. These three men were led to do what they did through faith in God, through faith in what he had promised in Jesus Christ. Now we have received what was promised them. We're richer. They saw God's goodness. They saw God's promises in black and white. For us today, we see it in bright color. We see it in HDTV, if you want. The deliverance of these three men prophetically points ahead to the great salvation all Christians have in Jesus Christ. To your salvation, if you're resting and trusting in Christ. Well, then shouldn't your commitment to God and his Son be even stronger? Listen to the challenging words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 10:37. He says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's one thing to be faced with a choice between following Nebuchadnezzar and following God. What about being faced to choose between the closest relationships you have and Christ? Well, I pray that you would never have to make such a choice. And I also hope that you would pray that if you are ever faced with such a choice, that you would have to choose between your loved ones and Christ, that you would still take Christ as most precious and dear, that you would even take Christ over your parents, that you would take Christ over your children. I hope that you would be able to say with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. That's Psalm 73:25. Earth has nothing I desire besides you. Well, I pray that you would have the faith to stand. That kind of principled position coming out of faith is not easy to hold. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced a terrible death by burning. Probably, I would think they would probably be the most painful way that you could possibly die is by burning. And they faced that because they would not compromise. And to make matters worse, The king ordered that the furnace be heated to 7 times hotter than usual. He gave orders that the 3 Jews, that they were to be tied up. He didn't want them to escape. There was going to be no chance for them to escape. And then some of the strongest soldiers in the Babylonian army, they gave up their lives to put these 3 in the fire. The 3 fell into the fire of the furnace. And who would have expected what happened next? Nebuchadnezzar, for one, well, he leapt to his feet in amazement. As he looked into the furnace, he now saw not 3 men in the fire, but 4. Not only that, but all of them were walking around. They were walking around in the same fire that a few moments ago had killed some of the strongest soldiers of the Babylonian army. And that 4th man, he looked different. He looked like a son of the gods or a divine being of some sort. The king went to the door of the furnace and he called out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out. And they did. And note there for a moment, by the way, that the 3 men obeyed the king. They obeyed him. They listened to him. The king still had authority over them. When he commanded them to do something that wasn't contrary to God's word, they would obey. Coming out of the furnace is not contrary to God's word. Bowing down to idols was contrary to God's word, so they were not going to do it. But notice that there's somewhat of a tension, for lack of a better way of putting it, even in Nebuchadnezzar's own words. He calls them servants of the Most High God. He doesn't say, my servants or my high officials. No, he says, servants of the Most High God, come out of the fire. At this point, he recognizes that they are both his servants and God's servants. But God's authority trumps his own. And as they come out of the fire, they're examined by the king's officials. Not only did they survive the fire, there was absolutely no evidence that they'd even been in the blazing furnace. You know what happens when you go camping and you sit around a campfire and you spend a few days camping? Your clothes start to smell like the campfire. Well, in this case, this was no campfire. This is a huge fiery furnace. But nevertheless, they had no singed hair. They had no scorched robes. They had no smell of fire on them. A miraculous deliverance. And we're going to consider that miraculous deliverance again tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in again. May God continue to richly bless you in every way.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.